إن الحمد لله أحمده وأستعين وأستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance and His forgiveness. I believe in Him and I trust Him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. In continuation with our regular classes concerning Sharh Bulugh al-Maram من أدلة الأحكام للحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني, the book Attainment of the Objective, الحافظ ابن حجر العسقلاني. This is our 8th class in the 5th album, and possibility that this is the last class concerning the book of marriage, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the help to finish this last 3 short classes. Today we are dealing with a new chapter, which is chapter number 12. This is page number 397, hadith number 964. Again, this is the 8th class for the 5th album. This is chapter 12, hadith number 964. Our chapter today is concerning Rida'a, the suckling or nursing by, and what is happening when a child been nursed, breastfeeding by another woman that is not his mother. This what is the chapter shows us, the relationship that the milk of a woman do to another child. In actuality, this child became a son to this mother. So that means that this mother became his mother by breastfeeding or by suckling. Ibn al-Rada'a, she became his mother by suckling, and her daughters became a sister to this child. That means if this child the future decide or he wish to marry one of her daughters, that he could not marry because this is became his sisters. And the furu', which is the branches and the roots of this mother, became prohibited to this child also. Inshallah, this will come more in details. Hadith number 964, and I hope you excuse me, I'm not feeling good, I have the flu, so be patient with me. I'm only concerned about the classes not to be cut off and people being coming every Tuesday. May Allah bless you. So please be patient with me, inshallah. Hadith Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tuharrimu al-massatu wal-massatan. This hadith reported by Aisha in the collection of Imam Muslim. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, one or two sucks do not make marriage unlawful. Muslim reported. So the hadith shows us that generality, in general, suckling is not any breastfeeding that will bring about propagation. And as example, that by a child sucking once or twice from a woman, this doesn't make him to be her son by Rada'a. So any general breastfeeding, if doesn't reach to a certain amount, a certain time of feeding, it doesn't make this mother to be prohibited to this child. And from this hadith also we understand how is the sunnah that explains the Quran, because the Quran in general talks generally, in generality, about breastfeeding, but the hadith comes and makes things more specifically. And this also shows us the needs for the Quran to the sunnah, that we could not understand the Quran by itself, that the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the means and tools to make us understand the Quran. Hadith number 965, وعنها, that means from Aisha also, she said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انظرنا من إخوانكن فإنما الرضاعة من المجاعة. This hadith reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make sure, O you women, those women who breastfeeding others, be sure who your brothers are. For suckling is that which is consequent of hunger. That this hadith shows us that women, they should be aware about whom they breastfeed, because this is going to affect the relationship between the person who's suckling from her, and it can bring about procreation. So it's not for the woman to give her milk right and left, but she have to be careful and she have to be aware to whom did she give her milk, because this will make a person a brother to the daughter of her as a result of the breastfeeding. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama ar-rada'a min al-maja'a." That means the breastfeeding which effect and bring about procreation is while the child in state of hunger. That means before the weaning, that he still depend on the breastfeeding. This is what meant by consequent to hunger. Hadith number 966. وعنها, that means from Aisha also, قالت جاءت سهلة بنت سهيل فقالت يا رسول الله إن سالما مولى أبي حذيفة معنا في بيتنا وقد بلغ ما يبلغ الرجال فقال أرضعيه تحرمي عليه. رواه مسلم. This hadith from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with him, pleased with her, that Sahla bint Suhail came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, O Prophet of Allah, Salim, which is an adopted slave that mean he was in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is a mawla, adopted slave of Abu Hudhayfa, and he had reached a certain age which is almost approaching the age of puberty, and being living with them in the same house. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed her to breastfeeding him. So he became a lawful for her. Now this is the scholars, they are different concerning this hadith, because Salim, he was reaching age which is not breastfeeding, he could not, he is not in a time of so-called taking breast anymore. He's like 9, 10, 12 years old. So he is not hungry, and his body and his bones is not built and nourished by the milk of the woman anymore. But this was, as some of the scholars said, that this can be exception for Salim. So due to the fact that they need Salim, he grew in the house and he been like a means and assistant for them to take care of the needs and wants in the house. And being reaching certain age, that means they have to cover in front of him. He could not be in privacy with them. So the Prophet ﷺ gave the instruction here by to give Salim her milk. Now, by some people they said that here, since Salim is a big boy, they said that the possibility that the milk can be put in a cup and given to him to drink. So the main thing is for the milk to go inside his body and to nourish him and to be part of his body to make the woman, now that he grow in her house, to be like a mother to him. And this was meant by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to breastfeed him or give him, suckle him, so he become a lawful to you in marriage and became like your son. The next hadith, and this hadith is authentic. The next hadith, which is 967, that means also from Aisha, that Aflah Akha Abul Qais Jaa Yasta'zinu Alayha Ba'da Al Hijab Qalat Fa'abaytu An Adhan Lah Falamma Jaa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam أخبرته الذي صنعته فأمرني أن آذن له علي وقال إنه عمك. متفق عليه. This is Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She telling us that Aflah, Aflah, brother of Ibn al-Qa'is, he came after the hijab. After the hijab, that means for the women to be the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to be exposed to anyone. And for anyone that want anything from them, they have to deal with them from behind a veil, behind a curtain or a wall or whatever. And this was something special for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a special instruction. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ, that if you ask them anything, like talking to them or asking them to bless you something, whatever it is, that it have to be under behind a veil. And this, like I said, was a special case for all the prophets of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Was not only a matter of covering her face only, that no one can talk to them indirectly or deal with them directly, it have to be behind a hijab. So after the hijab, been made commended to the prophets of the prophets' wives. So Aflah came asking permission to enter, and Aisha refused to let him come in. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, she told him about the visitation of Aflah and that she stopped him of coming to the house. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told her, give him permission, and because that he is her uncle by suckling. He is her uncle by suckling.
No, he is her nephew.
Huh?
He is her nephew.
Her nephew?
Yeah.
No.
Uncle. Oh, okay. Okay.
So this shows you that also that the rida'a or the breastfeeding, the suckling, it doesn't affect only the branches, whatever comes from the woman, but it affects the roots we have in Islam. Or when we talk about branches and roots, the roots like the father and the grandfather, okay, this is called the root of the person, okay, and the branches what comes from the person like a children and the children of the children, okay? Yeah, so the suckling, if a woman breastfeeding a child, so now the branches of this woman and the roots of this woman became lawful for this child, okay? So her father became a father to the child, her uncle became an uncle to the child that she breastfeed him like this. So now Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her that Aflah is her uncle, because that the woman that breastfeed Aisha's father, okay, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, been breastfeed by the same mother that breastfeed Aflah. And this hadith shows us that how Muslims are supposed to be very concerned about making sure who their relatives by suckling. That they shouldn't be permitting and dealing with people without knowing what is the relationship to them as a result of breastfeeding. Next hadith in page number 399, also from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, كان فيما أنزل القرآن عشر رضعات معلومات يحرم ثم نسخنا بخمس معلومات فتوفى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهي فيما يقرأ من القرآن. The hadith is reported by Aisha in the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so hadith is authentic. That Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she saying whatever used to before as part of the Quran, 10 times, 10 meals, 10 breastfeeding times, this what's make it forbidden. That means a child have to be breastfed 10 times by a woman for him to become her son by suckling, and after this been obligated and been reduced to 5 meals, 5 times, 5 different times that the child to be fed by a woman breastfeeding 5 times for him to be forbidden, that means she can be in front of him without hijab, that means her children became sisters to him, all these things, all this relationship. So she said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away and still the people reciting this as part of the Quran. As we understand that the Sahaba, all the Sahaba, they were not living in the same area, and some of them used to have or to get to know about the information, whatever new information comes before others. That does not mean that this was part of the Quran, but that mean was still to some people they did not know it. So in the moment of death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or immediately after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there still some people reciting this 10 meals or 10 times breastfeeding, until later on we understand that the Quran came and been alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Everybody have the same copy and the same Quran. But from this hadith we understand that the abrogation, it can take place in the Quran, and that what was the last condition, that 5 meals, and this what was the last thing, and this is what's make prohibition, that child have to be fed by a woman 5 different separate times, a full meal for him to become as her son by suckling, and this is the last thing. Again, we understand that the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explain the Quran. Hadith number 969, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أريد على ابنة حمزة فقال إنها لا تحل لي إنها ابنة أخي من الرضاعة ويحرم من الرضاعة ما يحرم من النسب ويحرم من الرضاعة ما يحرم من النسب متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic. So this hadith that daughter of Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, daughter of Hamza, which is uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being presented to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in marriage, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam refused, and he said that she is my niece. Is this what you say? She's my niece. Okay. In suckling, yes. Okay. She is the daughter of my brother. Okay. Because Hamza and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and another person, which I could not record it now, been breastfeeding by the same woman. So now this made Hamza to be his brother. So this is mean the daughter of his brother. That means the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like an uncle to her. So the hadith is teaching us that as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued saying, وَيَحْرُمُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَ مَا يَحْرُمُ مِنَ النَّسَبِ, And this is something very important that we have like a ruling, comes from here the hadith. Whatever is unlawful by reason of genealogy is unlawful by reason of suckling. So the same thing, relationship of marriage, okay, it will be equal to a relationship of suckling. So the same thing, like you marry a woman, you could not marry her mother, you could not marry her sister, you could not marry her daughter. This word will be the same thing apply when you, this is the relationship of marriage is equal to the relationship of suckling. So whatever forbidden by marriage is forbidden by suckling. Give example, like your aunt is forbidden for you, okay? So also the woman that breastfeed you, although she's not your mother, her sister became a aunt to you, okay? So whatever forbidden through relationship of marriage is the same equal to be forbidden by suckling. I don't know if how much I'm looking clear to you. The next hadith, which hadith number 970, عن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحرم من الرضاع إلا ما فتق الأمعاء وكان قبل الفطام. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith which reported by Umm Salama and in the collection of Tirmidhi and Al-Hakim, the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that whatever make it prohibited concerning suckling is what cause the stomach to grow, and before the weaning. So this means in the period, alaykum as-salam, there is a certain period of breastfeeding, which is usually 2 years. During the 2 years period, the flesh, the bones, everything in the child, it depends on the milk of the mother. And the milk is the only means of nourishment to make the bones and make the flesh, make the stomach, make the muscles, make things grow. So the hadith is saying, in other words, that after this, the milk has no effect. Why? Because is already the child been built, been nourished, and he's not anymore dependent on the milk. So the milk has no effect of contribution to build his system. So it's saying that the prohibition for suckling is during the period that the milk has became the main reason to make the body grow, and that is before the period of weaning, which is 2 years. So that means it's saying that if a woman breastfeeding a child after this time, this milk, it doesn't have any effect to the relationship, is not going to make the child prohibited to her, or make the other children to be his brothers or sisters or anything like this. Next hadith. حديث حديث نمبر 971 عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال لا رضاعة الا في الحولين، رواه الدارقطني وابن عدي مرفوع موقوفا. The suckling only affects affecting in the building of the body or affecting in the propagation only in the period of 2 years. This hadith is mawquf, is not to be marfu' to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this narration from Ibn Abbas. So as a narration from Ibn Abbas, it is authentic. Okay, so this hadith to explain the hadith before, which is say before the period of weaning, and say that this period which is 2 years, so after the 2 years doesn't have a effect. The next hadith, which is almost the same meaning, but the hadith is considered weak by attributing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but being as a mawquf hadith, mean narration of the Sahabi, is acceptable and authentic. Hadith number 973 وعن عقبة ابن الحارث أنه تزوج أم يحيى، أم يحيى بنت أبي إهاب، فجاءت امرأة فقالت قد أرضعتكما، فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال كيف وقد قيل، ففارقها عقبة ونكحت زوجا غيرها. And this also will explain to us again the hadith that was in the beginning of this chapter, hadith number 965. Okay, that we be careful from who do we give our milk to. So this what happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith reported by Aqba, and the hadith is authentic, that Al-Harith, he got married to Umm Yahya, daughter of Ibn Ihab. A woman came later on when she got to know that they are married. Maybe she was not in prison in that time, or she was in someplace else. But she came and informed them that she is their mother by breastfeeding. That means she had breastfeed Al-Harith as well as this woman, which Umm Yahya. So they went and questioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right away he made fasakh between them. That means this marriage is not valid anymore. And this shows us that the relationship of the marriage or relationship through suckling is equal to the relationship of marriage, because this man and this woman consider brothers and sister by breastfeeding. That also one witness is sufficient, especially the woman who had breastfeed them, both of them, so we don't have to have another witnesses for them. And that the Muslims in general have to be careful, those who breastfeeding other than their kids, and also those people who may marry to some people that there is a possibility that their mother been feeding both of them, and they have to be careful and ask about things like this. And also from this hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, the the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he replied, "How can you hesitate when you have been told?" Okay, so that means a person have to avoid the suspicion, and because this will become something in around the whole community. So he's not supposed to expose himself to a problem like this. Okay? And the Prophet already told him that the woman told you, and something became known now. So in this, in a case like this, this will be immediate separation. It's not going to be a divorce, because the marriage itself was not valid. And basically there is no punishment on these people or anything like this, because they did not know, they did not approach this while they know me. So inshallah they'll be forgiven for this. Excuse me. The next chapter inshallah, before the last chapter concerning marriage, in the chapter book of marriage concerning nafaqat, bab al nafaqat, maintenance or spending, which is a plural of nafaqa. The responsibility of a husband, a father, there is obligation like shelter and maintaining and support, clothing, all the things. And basically that the husband responsible to maintain and support his wife to the best of his ability. Islam doesn't require him to do beyond his means, but regardless whatever he got, if it's little or a lot, he's responsible to give according the means that Allah made it for him. So this chapter concerning the nafaqat, the spending or maintenance or supporting, first hadith, which hadith number 975, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت دخلت هند بنت عتبة امرأة أبي سفيان على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إن أبا سفيان رجل شحيح لا يعطيني من النفقة ما يكفيني ويكفي بني إلا ما أخذت من ماله بغير علمه، فهل علي في ذلك جناح؟ فقال خذي من ماله بالمعروف ما يكفيك ويكفي بنيك. Hadith reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima. The hadith is authentic, that Hind, daughter of Utba, wife of Abi Sufyan, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complaining about her husband, which Abu Sufyan, that he is a miser, that he a person who's not really giving. He like he think about the dollars twice before he get it out of his bucket, and he's not giving her enough for maintenance for her and her children. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "I don't have enough maintenance except what I take behind his back." That means he doesn't give it to her, but she will go and take it without his knowledge. And she was so concerned about if she committing sin by doing this, by taking money without his knowledge. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he permitted her and told her to take from his money what is reasonable, what is enough, what is sufficient for her and her children. Okay? So it's not means that she can go and take, and because some people, maybe their money is a lot, they don't know what has been taken from their property. Okay, it's a lot of money. And so she is permitted to take, but she have to be reasonable and to still have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this hadith we understand that the maintenance and the support of a woman is right, and the is her right and the obligation on her husband, as well as support and the maintenance of the children is obligation upon the man, the father. That it have to be according the means of the person and what is sufficient for the family. Also the hadith shows the permissibility of a woman taking from her husband property, but with a she have to be reasonable and she have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also from this hadith we understand that this is not part of backbiting. Okay, when a person go and complain to the judge or to the imam or whosoever in charge of some people affairs, and that you have to talk about somebody's condition, this is not called backbiting, because you are not coming to speak about the person for no reason. You coming to solve a problem or to see how you can solve this situation. Next hadith, hadith number 976. وعن طارق المحاربي قال قدمنا المدينة فإذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قائم يخطب الناس ويقول يد المعطي العليا ودأ بمن تعول أمك وأباك وأختك وأخاك ثم أدناك فأدناك. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given this hadith is in the collection of Imam An-Nasa'i, Ibn Hibban, Ad-Darqutni, and the hadith is authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given khutbah in the minbar, and he was saying that the hand of the giver is the higher and the upper hand, and you should start with those people that you are responsible about them, and your father, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, and those who comes after and after and after. Okay, so the hadith it shows us that Islam encourage us to spend and to give, and the person who's giving, he is a person in the best position than the best who is receiving. Yes.